A Columbia witness testifies she clearly saw the blue sedan run the red light. She remembers, she says, because she had just come from the Elm Street bakery. The defense has the baker, ready to swear she was never there that morning. Can they call him? No. The bakery is collateral. It contradicts her on nothing that decides the case. So the defense may ask about it on cross and is then stuck with her answer. That single idea, collateral or not, answers the extrinsic evidence question every time. Today, the toolbox for attacking a witness's credibility and the toolbox for repairing it. Here is the root. Two ground rules, then the master key that unlocks the whole topic, then the methods, one at a time. Capacity, contradiction, prior inconsistent statements, bias, character for truthfulness, and religion. Then rehabilitation, where the repair has to answer the attack. And finally, impeaching a declarant who never took the stand. Two ground rules first, because they apply across everything. One, anyone may impeach. Under FRE 607, any party may attack any witness's credibility, including the party that called the witness. The old voucher rule, the idea that you vouch for your own witness, is gone. A prosecutor may impeach her own cooperating witness. 2. Impeachment usually goes to credibility, not to the truth of the matter. Show that a witness once said the opposite, and the jury may use that to distrust her. It usually may not treat the earlier statement as proof of what it asserted. On request, the judge gives a limiting instruction. That credibility versus substance line is one of the most heavily tested traps in the subject. Now the master key, because it answers the extrinsic evidence question every time. What is extrinsic evidence? Anything from outside this witness's own mouth, a document, or a second witness. The alternative is that you are limited to whatever you can get her to admit on cross. A matter is collateral if it has no importance in the case except to contradict the witness. A stray detail raised only to catch her in an error. There, you are stuck with the answer. You may ask on cross, but you may not bring in extrinsic evidence to prove her wrong, because trials would drown in mini-trials over trivia. A matter is non-collateral, and extrinsic evidence is allowed, when it matters beyond just contradicting the witness. 4 categories. It is relevant to a substantive issue that helps decide the merits. It shows bias, interest, or a motive to lie. It shows a defect in capacity to observe, remember, or relate. Or it is a prior inconsistent statement about a material fact. Commit this much to memory. Bias and capacity are never collateral. And by contrast, specific bad acts under FRE 608B and contradiction on a trivial detail are collateral. No extrinsic evidence there, ever. Method A, attacking capacity. The most basic attack is not that the witness is a liar, it is that she is honestly mistaken. A truthful witness is still worthless if she could not perceive the event, cannot recall it, or cannot describe it accurately. You are not calling her dishonest, just unreliable. 4 capacities to probe. Perception, meaning could she actually see or hear what she describes? Poor eyesight, darkness, distance, an obstructed view, intoxication at the time. Memory, meaning does she truly remember or is she filling gaps? Narration, meaning can she relate the event clearly, and any condition that impaired perception or memory at the relevant time? Because a genuine defect in capacity bears directly on reliability, it is non-collateral. You may prove it with extrinsic evidence, not merely ask about it. In Franklin, an eyewitness swears she watched a getaway car from across a 6-lane road at dusk. the defense may cross-examine her about lighting and distance, and may also call an optometrist or introduce records showing she was not wearing her prescribed glasses. Method B, contradiction. This means showing the witness simply got a fact wrong, either by getting her to admit it on cross or by offering other evidence that the fact is different. The whole question is the collateral rule, which is where we started. Back to that blue sedan. Whether the car ran the light is a merits fact, so extrinsic evidence contradicting it, a traffic camera clip, is allowed. Whether she had been to the bakery is collateral. Try it. The red light. Extrinsic evidence? Yes. The bakery? Extrinsic evidence? No. And note what collateral does not mean. It is about importance to the case, not how confident you are that the witness is wrong. You may be certain she never went near that bakery. It still decides nothing, so you are still stuck with her answer. Method C. Prior inconsistent statements. People who change their story are easy to distrust. A prior inconsistent statement is something the witness said or wrote before that clashes with her testimony now. Prior inconsistent conduct counts too. The witness who now swears the crossing was clearly marked, but who at the time drove straight through it without slowing. Two separate questions come up, and the exam loves both. First, foundation. Under FRE 613, you may cross-examine about a prior statement without first showing it to her, though you must show it to opposing counsel on request. Proving the statement by extrinsic evidence is different. FRE 613B requires that she get an opportunity to explain or deny it, and the opposing party an opportunity to question her about it. Note the sequence, because it changed. As amended, effective December 2024, FRE 613B now requires that the opportunity come before the extrinsic evidence is admitted, unless the court orders otherwise. The older rule lets you lay the foundation later, by recalling the witness. Confront the witness first, then prove it up. Second question. Is it substantive or impeachment only? Usually, a prior inconsistent statement attacks credibility only. The key exception is FRE 801D1A. It is substantive if the witness testifies and is subject to cross now, and the statement was made under penalty of perjury at a trial, hearing, other proceeding, or deposition. So prior sworn testimony can be both impeachment and proof. A casual statement to a friend is impeachment only. Two more points. A prior inconsistent statement on a collateral matter still cannot be proven by extrinsic evidence, and an opposing party's own statement needs no FRE 613B foundation. Method D. Bias and interest. The most powerful impeachment there is, because it suggests the witness is shading everything she says. Bias means a relationship or emotion that could tilt the testimony. Love, loyalty, family ties, fear, hostility. Interest means a personal stake in the outcome. Being a party, getting paid, a plea deal, immunity. Bias and interest are never collateral. They are always material, so you may both cross-examine about them and prove them with extrinsic evidence. Although the rules spell out no foundation requirement, most courts require you to ask the witness about the biasing facts first, before you offer outside proof. Watch it work. In Olympia, the state's key witness testifies after signing a cooperation agreement that shortens his own sentence. The defense may cross-examine him about the deal, and may also introduce the signed agreement itself. Extrinsic evidence, because his interest in pleasing the prosecution is never collateral. Method E is character for truthfulness, and it comes with three tools. This attack says the witness is, by character, a liar, so do not believe her today. Tool 1 is reputation or opinion testimony under FRE 608A. You may call a character witness to describe her reputation for untruthfulness, or to give a personal opinion that she is untruthful. Note the ceiling on that tool. You may support a witness's truthful character only after it has been attacked. You cannot bolster a witness whose honesty no one has challenged. Tool 2 is specific bad acts under FRE 608B, asking about past acts of dishonesty, lying on a job application, faking credentials, a prior act of fraud. Two hard limits define it, both heavily tested. No extrinsic evidence. You may only ask on cross, and if the witness denies the act, you are stuck with the answer. And the act must bear on truthfulness, deceit, fraud, forgery, false statements. A violent or reckless act, like a bar fight, is not admissible under FRE 608B, because brawling does not show that a person lies. You also need a good faith basis to ask, and the judge has discretion to forbid the inquiry. Try it. A witness with a prior act of forgery. May you ask about it on cross? Yes. He denies it. So may you put in the document that proves it? No. You are finished. The single carve-out is a criminal conviction, which is the next tool. Tool 3 is a prior criminal conviction under FRE 609. Unlike a bare bad act, a conviction may be proven with extrinsic evidence, the record itself, which convictions come in turns on two things: whether the crime involved dishonesty or a false statement, and whether the witness is an ordinary witness or the criminal defendant who chose to testify. Here is the grid, four lines. A crime of dishonesty or false statement, felony or misdemeanor, is automatically admitted against any witness, including the accused. No discretion, no balancing. That is what makes the category so powerful. Second line. Any other felony, meaning a crime punishable by death or by more than 1 year, against a witness who is not the accused. That is admitted unless barred by FRE 403, which favors admission. Third line. That same felony against the criminal defendant who testifies is admitted only if its probative value outweighs the prejudice to him. Notice that is the reverse test. Fourth line. A misdemeanor not involving dishonesty is not admissible under FRE 609 at all. And overlaying everything, the 10-year rule. If more than 10 years have passed since the conviction or release, whichever is later, it comes in only if probative value substantially outweighs prejudice, with reasonable written notice. Three finer points. Dishonesty means the crime's elements required deceit or falsehood, perjury, fraud, embezzlement, forgery. A crime of violence is not automatically in that box. Pardons generally keep a conviction out, juvenile adjudications are generally inadmissible, and a conviction on appeal is still usable. Method F, religion. And it is short. You may not attack or bolster a witness's credibility with her religious beliefs. She is an atheist, so she has no reason to tell the truth. He is devout, so believe him. Both are flatly barred by FRE 610. Faith is not a truth meter in either direction. But there is a narrow, heavily tested exception. Religion may come in for a different purpose, most often to show bias. If a witness and a party belong to the same congregation, that membership can be shown to prove a reason to favor that party. Same fact, different and permissible purpose. Now, rehabilitation, where a witness who has been attacked gets rebuilt. The golden rule is that the repair must be responsive. You meet the attack with a repair that answers that specific attack. You cannot bolster a witness who was never impeached. Three methods. 1. Explain or deny on redirect. The simplest fix. Let the witness clarify the inconsistency, explain the biasing fact, or put the impeaching detail in context. 2. Good character for truthfulness under FRE 608A. Call a witness to her reputation or opinion for truthfulness, but only after her character for truthfulness was attacked. That limit is the most tested rehabilitation trap. A mere contradiction or a single prior inconsistent statement usually does not attack truthful character, so it does not open that door. Match the repair to the attack. 3. A prior consistent statement under FRE 801D 1B. An earlier statement matching the testimony offered to rebut a charge of recent fabrication or improper influence, or to rehabilitate after another credibility attack. These are also substantive evidence when the declarant testifies and is subject to cross. And a trap inside that one. For the recent fabrication branch, the consistent statement must predate the alleged motive to lie. A consistent statement made after the motive appeared proves nothing, because the witness already had the motive when she said it. Last method, and it answers a question that sounds impossible. Sometimes the person whose words are in evidence never testifies. Can you attack the credibility of someone who is not there to cross-examine? Yes. Under FRE 806, once a hearsay statement is admitted, the absent declarant may be impeached and then supported by any evidence that would have been allowed had they testified live. So the whole toolkit applies. Bias, a prior inconsistent statement, a character witness, a qualifying conviction, or a defect in capacity. One special wrinkle. The usual FRE 613B foundation is waived because the declarant is not on the stand to be confronted. The prior inconsistent statement comes in regardless, and the party against whom the hearsay was admitted may call the declarant and examine them as if on cross-examination. A word on authorities, because this episode named no cases, and that was deliberate. Impeachment lives entirely in the federal rules of evidence, and the exam tests whether you can run them, not whether you can cite a case. This topic is starred, so the rules will not be handed to you on the page. If you keep only three, keep these. FRE 608B, because it is cross-examination only, and the act must show dishonesty. FRE 609, because the grid decides every conviction question. And the collateral rule, because bias and capacity are never collateral. Now the traps, and the recurring one is extrinsic evidence. Bias and capacity are never collateral, so extrinsic evidence is always allowed there. FRE 608B. Bad acts allow no extrinsic evidence, ever. A prior inconsistent statement allows it only on a non-collateral point, only after a foundation, and since December 2024, that foundation must come first. Then, credibility versus substance. Most impeachment is credibility only. A prior inconsistent statement is substantive only if made under oath at a proceeding, under FRE 801D1A. A prior consistent statement is substantive under FRE 801D1B. Do not let a fact pattern trick you into treating impeachment as proof of the fact. Then, FRE 608B against FRE 609. Non-conviction bad acts are cross-examination only, no extrinsic evidence, and the act must show dishonesty. Convictions can be proven up, and the grid controls. Remember the defendant discount. And remember, crimes of dishonesty come in against everyone automatically. Religion is never a general credibility attack. And rehabilitation must fit the attack. Time for the quick check, straight from the Bargo question bank. A defense witness is impeached on cross with evidence that she is the defendant's business partner and stands to lose a great deal of money if he is convicted. A pointed attack on her bias. Seeking to rehabilitate her, defense counsel calls a second witness to testify that she has a sterling reputation for truthfulness in the community. The prosecution objects that this good character evidence does not respond to the kind of attack that was actually made. Is the good character testimony a proper response? Option 1. Yes, because any attack on a witness's credibility opens the door to good character evidence. Option 2. Yes, because bias and dishonesty are two names for the same credibility attack. Option 3. No, because a bias attack does not put the witness's character for truthfulness in issue. Pause here if you want a moment. The answer is Option 3. Rehabilitation must be responsive to the specific attack. A bias attack says the witness has a motive to shade her testimony. It does not assert she is, by character, a liar, so it does not open the door to FRE 608A, good character evidence. Option 1 is wrong because not every credibility attack triggers character rehabilitation. Only an attack on character for truthfulness does. Option 2 conflates two ideas. Bias is about motive. Character is about honesty as a trait. And showing a financial stake is not the same as calling her a liar. The right repair is to let her explain the bias. 5 things to take away. 1. Anyone may impeach, including the party who called the witness, and impeachment usually goes to credibility, not to the truth of the matter. 2. The collateral rule answers the extrinsic evidence question, and bias and capacity are never collateral. 3. A prior inconsistent statement needs its foundation before the extrinsic proof, since December 2024, and it is substantive only if made under oath at a proceeding. 4. FRE 608B is cross-examination only and must bear on honesty, while FRE 609 convictions can be proven up, and crimes of dishonesty come in automatically. 5. Rehabilitation must answer the attack, and good character only follows a character attack, which is why the defense never got to call that baker. The bakery decided nothing, so they were stuck with her answer. That is the last stop in evidence. Practice this topic with more than 2,900 exam-style questions, free to start, at nextgenbargo.com. This episode is for education and exam preparation only, not legal advice, and we are not affiliated with or endorsed by the NCBE or any bar examining authority.